Hi, this is Alan Menken, composer of many of the musicals you know, I guess, from Disney shows and Little Shop of Horrors, and most recently Newsies. And you're listening to Dave's Gone By with Dave Lefkowitz on UNT Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Oh, my God, am I talking to the wonderful Alan Menken here?
Hello, Rabbi Saul. How are you?
Shalom to you. Oh, my goodness. It is such a delight, such a joy to have you on the radio program Dave's Gone By with me, Rabbi Saul Solomon. Let me tell the folks listening some of the credits of this man. This man has composed the music for Little Shop of Horrors, the Broadway musical hit Newsies. He did the scores for the movies and the shows of The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and the musical of Sister Act. This man has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I don't even get ketchup on my local sidewalk. This man has a star on the Walk of Fame. He's got 8 Oscar wins. That's one short. Am I joking? Am I wrong on this? He has 11 Grammys.
Hey, Rabbi, you are so right. Thank you, Rabbi. And it is a mitzvah, and I am blessed. What can I say?
Oh, and I am blessed to talk with Alan Menken here on Dave's Gone By. And let us explain right off the bat the reason, the main reason that we're talking now, in that in just a few days, the ballots will be required for this year's Emmy Awards. So the Emmys don't air until September, but the people who vote have to vote by the end of June. And so, you're up for a nomination for a song. What's the song and what's the show?
Well, the song is the Broadway song from The Neighbors. It's a long title, just the kind of thing you might hear on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
I should give you the exact... We have a very long title.
Isn't it called Sing Like a Larry Bird? That's not a very long title.
Well, Sing Like a Larry Bird is the name of the episode. And
oh.
And it's the song that I wrote with Glenn Slater, with whom I wrote the Sister Act, and also he wrote all the new songs for Little Mermaid with me, and he wrote Tangled with me. And we got to reteam with our old collaborator, Dan Fogelman, who is the creator of this wonderfully hilarious new series called The Neighbors.
Okay.
You see? And he asked if we would write a song, because this is the song for the episode where the neighbors discover Broadway shows. And, of course, I don't know if people understand the premise, but the premise is the neighbors, in this case, actually are aliens who have come to this planet and... nobody knows they are aliens except for this family who's moved into this condominium community, which seems ideal, except that they're surrounded by this charming but clueless group of aliens. And they want to learn about all the things that we know, you know, in our world. And one of those is being a Broadway show. So they go to see a Broadway show and come back and make up their own production number.
Oh,
yes.
So you wrote a song to play, to be in that production number, a spoofy sort of Broadway-style song that has a very, very long title that I don't have in front of me that you can't remember, but I'm sure it's hilarious.
Well, we're going to find... It's so embarrassing that I actually am not giving you the title of the song. Wait a second.
I hope the voters know the title of the song. That would be a problem right there.
That would be a problem. Just the kind of thing you might... Wait a second. Let me. Rabbi, give me 1 second.
I'll even give you 2 seconds, but only because you're Jewish.
Well, we don't want to discriminate against non-Jews, but wait a second.
Oh, I do all the time. Achat, I'm heading towards Shtayim.
No.
Achat and a half here. Achat and 3/4.
I just call it the Alien Broadway song, so wait a second. Anyway, the title is... God. This is,
now, that's a good title. Oh, God. That would make a good movie, too.
It is the song by Alan Menken from The Neighbors.
The song by Alan Menken of the... Now we're extrapolating on all this specifically because if you happen to win this Emmy in September, if you get this award for this song that you don't seem to know what it is, what happens? Why is that important?
Well, if I win an Emmy, okay, here we go. might see on Broadway. Thank you. It's called The Kind of Thing You Might See on Broadway.
That's not a long title. That's a perfectly normal title. The Kind of Thing You Might See. All right, very good. Okay. So, why is this semi-important, Alan Menken?
Well, if I win this particular Emmy, then I will be officially what's called an EGOT. An EGOT is someone who has won an Oscar and a Grammy and a Tony and an Emmy.
Wow, that's right. So in other words, you've already got the GOT. You got the Grammy, you got the Oscar, you got the GOT. You need the E. To get the E GOT. Now there have been only two composers in history who have scored this quadrifecta thing, and you know, of course, I'm sure who.
Really?
Well, it isn't a press release. Take a guess.
Which two do you know of?
Well, no,
Marvin Hamlisch and Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks? No, it's...
But of course, Mel doesn't have... A lot of his don't come as a composer, so I guess Mel doesn't count.
No. You got the Marvin Hamlisch right. That was very good. He has the EGOT. Who else? Think.
Richard Rodgers.
Very good. I told you Jews were smart. Oh, my God, yes. So you would join this rather exalted company of the late Marvin Hamlisch and the even later Richard Rodgers if you were to get this award. So, of course, we're all rooting for you. But let's roll it back with Alan Menken. Let's talk about how you got into creating music in the first place, both as songwriter and then into the theater. When did it all start? Yes.
Began when I was a kid. Grew up in a family that loved music and loved musical theater and loved songs. But of course, it was a family of dentists. All the men in my family had been dentists.
Oy, Gewalt. So wait a minute, I have to ask. Did your father pull your own teeth? Did he do your own teeth? Or did he send you to someone else?
He did.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, he. My father took care of my teeth. And my father was a pioneer in the use of nitrous oxide, which, first of all, explains some of the inside information I had for Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, my God! Yes! That makes total sense!
When I wrote Little Shop of Horrors, my dad was actually president of the New York chapter of the American Analgesia Society, by the dentists who promote the use of nitrous oxide as safe.
So I have to ask, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but it's an obvious question. What did your family think of that character in Little Shop?
Well, initially, I would say they were less than ecstatic. But when the show became successful, they changed their tune. And my dad actually provided us with the slides that we used of Seymour, this could happen to you when you look at the teeth. That was my father's patience. So he grew to love it and justified it by saying, look, you know, if you think someone... A plant can eat people, then I guess you think that a dentist could mask himself as death on nitrous oxide. So he was fine with that.
I think
it's a headwind from a family of dentists, but I loved music, and I really was not going to be a dentist. Then I went to college as a pre-med.
Oh, my, a pre-med. So you thought you would be. You knew if you weren't going into music, then dentistry it would have been.
I didn't. I just lost interest, and I, in fact... devoted myself, by the time I was done with college, I had devoted myself to being a songwriter, and I joined a workshop called the BMI Musical Theater Workshop with a very famous conductor named Lehman Engel. I began writing musicals, and I never looked back, and of course my life moved forward from there.
Yes.
Besides loving theater, I always loved film, and so scoring films was also something that, you know, sort of on my wish list of things I want to do with my life. And thank God, when Disney came along, I got the opportunity to do that.
So wait, was your first movie a Disney film? Was that the first thing, film you ever did? Because that's a pretty high-level project for a first time.
Well, the first... No. I had little unknowns. I wrote some songs for films prior to that. And, of course, then we had... prior to Little Mermaid, we had, of course, the film adaptation of Little Shop of Horrors. For which we wrote the songs, and including the new song, but I did not actually do a film underscore until Little Mermaid.
Oh, okay. Now I got you.
My first musical was actually an adaptation of a Kurt Vonnegut novel called God Bless You, Mr. Rosenberg. over, and it was another story.
Oh, my God, that's so cool. But again, I it's rude of me, I know, but I keep interrupting you because I want to ask these little questions that are sparked by Alan Menken's memories. So, first of all, you adapted a Kurt Vonnegut novel, God bless you, Mr. Rosewater, did you have any contact with Vonnegut, or did his publisher just give permission?
Oh, yes.
No.
While we were still in rehearsal, Kurt came by one of our rehearsals and looked at what we were doing, and I conspicuously remember Kurt dancing his way out of our studio with happiness. He was a very generous supporter of what Howard Ashman and I were doing, and a very, very brilliant and nice man. And in fact, his daughter, Edie, became one of our producers.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Kurt became a very important person in our lives.
Oh, my gosh. Now, also, Howard Ashman, tremendously important person in your life. Was he at the workshop, too, at BMI?
Oh, of course. No, Howard was not actually in the workshop, although the people in the workshop, including Lehman Engel, were very instrumental in putting us together, because Lehman Engel was on the board of advisors of Howard's theater, which is called the WVA Theater.
Right.
And Howard and I did develop Little Shop of Horrors through the workshop. So, in a sense, Howard did become kind of a temporary member of the workshop.
Now, what was special? Because now you have worked with a lot of other folks, but for a period of time, Howard Ashman and you were, you know, a collaborating couple, as it were.
Yes.
Right. So what was it that made you specifically click together?
Well, Howard was, to be honest, the greatest musical theater talent of our generation. And his death was a terrible tragedy. Howard was a brilliant director, book writer, lyricist. He understood the structure of musicals, and he understood how to use musical styles in dramatic pieces in a really important way. So that after we wrote Little Shop of Horrors, what frankly brought me to Disney was the fact that David Geffen, who was one of our producers of Little Shop of Horrors, was a big proponent of Howard's talent and put Howard in touch with Disney. And Howard, you know, thank goodness, brought me with him. Howard was a one of those great theater minds, and really understood how songs function in musicals in a brilliant way. You know, beyond that, both Howard and I loved working in very specific musical styles and writing what we call pastiche. So, you know, especially with Little Shop of Horrors, working in doo-wop rock and roll was very, very much, you know, something we had in common. Working with Vonnegut, we were working in, you know, various styles of Americana. Working in Little Mermaid, we were working in reggae and in calypso. Working in Beauty and the Beast, it was in French music hall and operetta. Working in Aladdin, it was Fats Waller and Cab Calloway. And, you know, Jay was just brilliant, a brilliant artist in working in all those forms. And, you know, we had a wonderful collaboration.
Let me ask, the idea to do Little Mermaid and use that calypso sort of music that led to the great song Under the Sea and the songs in there. Was that, who was the person who said, okay, the idiom is going to be calypso? Was it you? Was it Howard? Was it Disney? Who was it?
It's Howard.
Wow. He just thought, and boom. And that...
Initially...
No, please.
Forgive me for interrupting, Rabbi.
No, of course.
Initially, the character Sebastian was kind of a stuffy English choir director slash crab. And Howard said, let's make him, like a Caribbean crab. It gives us so much more to play with culturally and also musically. And that was a brilliant idea on his part.
And did you know, when you had a song like Under the Sea or Beauty and the Beast, do you know as soon as you put that last little musical notation on the page with all the staffs on it, did you look at each other and go, oh yeah? Did you realize at a certain point?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yes, we liked it, sir. Yes, we thought it was very good. I mean, did we go, wow? No, we go, we hope other people will like it as much as we do. And there were plenty of times where we wrote things and were very unsure. Howard, I remember we wrote the song Belle, you know, the opening to Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
He made me wait about 2 weeks before we sent that song out because he was afraid that people at Disney were going to laugh at us. You know, a 7-minute opening number for this movie. They're going to think we're crazy. And he was very insecure about it, and of course they loved it. So I said wow because I loved working with him so much. But, you know, he was one of those people who was very cautious about going overboard about the quality of our songs.
Working with him for all those years and then losing him, what was that like in the sense of having to grieve someone who you knew was going to die because, he died of AIDS, and then moving on with other people?
Well, the process of completing Beauty and the Beast while Howard was succumbing to AIDS was pretty much as agonizing as anything I could imagine in my life. It was heartbreaking. It was just heartbreaking. And he died 6 months before the movie was released. He also died, you know, midway into the process of working on Aladdin. And it was just terrible. He was, you know, he was going to work on Newsies with me, and then he was just too sick to begin that. And so I wrote that with Jack Feldman, and it was a wonderful collaborator. And it all worked out wonderfully. But it was tragic watching a talent like that, lose one by one, lose his faculties and his abilities, and then die. It's a terrible disease, and it had a terrible stigma also. And I will say that the Walt Disney Company was fantastic about supporting Howard
Well, their policies, that's the interesting thing. Surprisingly enough, their policies have not been homophobic as far as I've read, even in their theme parks and things like that.
Hardly. They've been the best company at that kind of understanding and support, and they were wonderful with Howard. So that was tough. After he passed away, it was, you know, the transition for me was I really took on the responsibilities that he and I had shouldered together. And that was a big growth experience for me, and I think I handled it well. And you know, Tim Rice became my collaborator to finish up Aladdin, and then Stephen Schwartz became my collaborator to work on Pocahontas and Hunchback of Notre Dame, and then David Zippel and Jack Feldman, et cetera, et cetera.
You're just rattling off these unbelievable names here. So why not give us a little bit of a little sense of these people, like what they are like to work with, maybe a funny anecdote, maybe what makes them special and particular and unique in what they do. For example, Tim Rice, what was he like?
Well, Tim Rice is the collaborator who's the most removed from me as far as culture and temperament. Tim is English. He's a knight.
Oh my gosh. Not even an afternoon. Oh my god. Yes. I'm sorry. Continue.
Rabbi. He is not type A person at all. He's got a very healthy attitude about life. A delightful, funny, wonderful man. Much of our work was done, you know, remotely with him in England and me in New York. Although we would fly over to work with each other. Then there's, you know, Stephen Schwartz.
Uh-huh.
Stephen was very much like Howard Eshmer, but Stephen, of course, also is a composer, as I am, you know. I had concerns about that, but he was the most accommodating, and he really was simply as supportive as a lyricist and a very, very much a fan of my work, as a composer. So we've had and continue to have a wonderful friendship and collaboration. David Zippel, what a clever, clever man. What I think about David Zippel is he's just so fertile, such a fertile imagination in terms of wordplay and in terms of stylistically evoking the ability, the quality of like a Cole Porter. Just a very, very brilliant lyricist. I've known, I knew him back from the days of the BMI workshop. Also, he and I were both composer lyricists. So in our collaboration, again, it's very fluid. We get in the room together and just work together. Very easygoing, very nice man. Lynn Ahrens.
Oh, yes.
Lynn is known as the lyricist side of the Ahrens and Flaherty collaboration. And they've done so many shows like Ragtime and Physical and Anastasia, etc. She and I wrote A Christmas Carol together.
Right.
And again, have a wonderful relationship and worked with Mike Ockrent and Susan Stroman on that. And then there's Glenn Slater, with whom I wrote Sister Act and Home on the Range and Tangled. So I'm sure forgetting some. David Spencer, with whom I wrote
Weird Romance
and The Apprenticeship with Judy Kravitz.
Let me ask you about that, if I may. We're talking with Alan Menken here on Dave's Gone By with me, Rabbi Saul Solomon. And Dave has been a longtime friend and acquaintance of David Spencer. And he remembers, like, years ago, the excitement, there was always this sense of, oh, yes, in the next 6 months, the money's going to come and we're going to get Dougie Kravitz done on Broadway. And then 6 months would pass, and then it wouldn't happen. And then it's, but no, there's another. How do you
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. In the next 6 months, the money's going to come and we're going to do Dougie Kravitz.
There you go. But how do you, as a writer and as someone in a business that is so emotional and artistic in a lot of ways, how do you pick yourself up when you put all this effort and work into something and, you know, we all know this happens in the theater. It almost happens, it's about to happen, and then the wind changes by one degree. You know, how do you deal with that?
Don't work on one project. Work on five projects at once. Just always starting new projects. Don't ever allow yourself to put all your eggs in one basket. Ever, ever, ever. This is something we learned from Lehman Engel. And, you hope that something will happen, but don't ever count on one thing happening. Dougie Kravitz in particular was a very tough project because, frankly, it's a story of, here's this Jewish kid who's, I hate to say it, but in his ambition ends up taking advantage of a lot of people, most of whom are the non-Jewish people in his life. That's a tough...
Oh, well.
That's a tough sell.
I mean, at least I can get it for you wholesale. They're all Jews, but yeah.
You know, he loves his Zeta, he loves his father, he loves his... his relationship with his brother, but he really wants to prove himself to his family. But then there's Yvette, and there's Virgil, and these people who are so wonderful to him, and he is a little bit ruthless. So it's one of those stories that is certainly not a simple slam dunk as far as having people want to invest in that musical. But I will say it is one of the most brilliant things I've ever worked with on. I do have to say that David Spencer is one of the supreme talents I've ever worked with. Just an amazing talent as a lyricist and as a book writer. And I do treasure that relationship, as much as any other.
Wonderful. Then I will tell that information to Dave, who will be very, very happy to hear it. But this also brings up the question of you work on a project, and do you sometimes know, obviously Beauty and the Beast was not just a huge film, but it was a big, big Broadway hit as well. And then you had some others too, and now you've got Newsies. And again, can you even tell, like with Little Mermaid, that at least box office-wise and review-wise was a disappointment? And so Disney backed away, and they put on Newsies and said, we're only going to do it for a couple of weeks. It'll be a limited run. Maybe people will go see it. And then suddenly Newsies explodes and almost wins the Tony for that year. So
yeah.
can you, like on opening night, do you know, do you sense it? Or is it not until the reviews come out or a week later? When do you know?
Well, there's so many levels of success. There's artistic success, there's box office success. Truth is, right now, the musical of Little Mermaid is an enormous success worldwide. It's enormous. I come back from like a month and a half ago from Tokyo, where it opened there, and it's so sold out for a year. I came back from Moscow, where it sold out for a year. Little Mermaid is a big hit. The production on Broadway had some failings, and it's just the production. The show itself, though, is actually immensely successful, and now it's a production at Maple Grove Playhouse, which is essentially showcasing what is going to be the stock and amateur version of the show, and that's going to be very, very successful. In regards to Newsies, I mean, you know, I guess that's sort of, that's the definition of who knows. You just don't know. A lot of it has to do with how people respond. And what's your competition for the year?
True.
It so happens that Newsies came in a good year. Newsies also came in with a lot of support from people who love that movie and really have a lot of affection for it. And it surprised all of us. You just never really know. It's, you know, sometimes box office. I remember being with Stephen Schwartz on the opening night of Wicked. And that, you would have thought that show was going to close within weeks. And
wow.
Look at it. It's, you just don't know.
Look, for example, I mean, do you think that Leap of Faith got a fair shake?
Well, do I think Leap of Faith got a fair shake?
That was the musical based on the Steve Martin movie, and it had Raul Esparza in the lead role on Broadway about the faith healer who's not really a faith healer, etc. Yeah.
Right, yeah. To be perfectly honest, I don't think Leap of Faith was very well produced. I think it was brought into the Broadway prematurely and without support, and that was a problem. That's a show that needed to come in a way where there was an actual publicity campaign that had people understand that it was a tongue-in-cheek gospel revival, and it had a message to it. However, it was not simply what it seemed on the surface. That never got communicated, and it also never really had a chance to build any sort of audience support. But you also have to, you know, have to understand that audiences, you know, sort of have a mind of their own, and they speak. They speak through their pocketbooks. And clearly, if you look at Leap of Faith, or you look at a show like Scandalous,
which you were not involved in. That's the Kathy Lee Gifford musical.
No.
Right, yes.
No, but it's another gospel, you know, another musical about an evangelist. I think it's clear that there's not a big appetite for musicals about evangelists on Broadway right now.
Well, although Sister Act did all right for a couple of years, that was yours.
Not an evangelist, though, I'd say.
Well, you got a bunch of nuns singing and jumping around. It's close.
Yes, exactly. Different. And it constructed pretty well. But I also think Sister Act probably did not live up to its potential. And I think part of it, maybe the title was a little tired. It's very hard to tell. You put stuff out there and you just see what happens. Certainly 6 months out, nobody would have predicted that Book of Mormon would be an unstoppable hit. Nobody would have predicted it. And then the show opens and audiences, including me, absolutely love it. All you can do as an artist is do your best work, put it out there, see what comes, and move on. That's all you can do.
Now, speaking of best work, I am curious, in relation to other people's work and other people's musicals, what would be your favorite shows that you have seen, not of your own, of the past, say, 10 or 15 years? Wow. That's a gaping silence right there.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. I love Book of Mormon.
Right, okay.
I love the producers. As you can tell, I like to laugh.
Okay, that's good.
I love Wicked. I thought Wicked was wonderful.
Wicked is brilliant.
I thought Hairspray was a wonderful musical.
Okay, so yeah, I can sort of see the genre that appeals to you. So let me then roll it back 50, 70, 80 years. What are your favorite musicals of all time?
Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, of course. Okay, Fiddler, those are the top three right there. Fiddler on the Roof, right? And?
West Side Story.
Mm.
And My Fair Lady.
Okay, so the basic ones.
Sweeney Todd. Into the Woods.
So let me ask you a question. Yeah, you've never worked with Stephen Sondheim, have you? On anything?
No, of course. No.
No. What is it about Sondheim that makes him so extraordinary? Well, most people think he's pretty extraordinary. What's his gift?
He is extraordinary. He's the full package. Stephen Sondheim has a peerless intellect as far as the quality of his writing as a composer and as a lyricist. He has a vocabulary that is so uniquely his own, and he has a vocabulary that captures a range of emotion that is extraordinary. It goes from pure whimsy, as in a funny thing happened in the way at the Forum, to the depth of a serious opera, as in Passion or Sweeney Todd, and captures such a range of emotions in between the angst of modern life. There's a great deal of impressionism in what he does. And
well, certainly in Sunday in the Park with George, yes. Just kidding.
Well,
yes.
Sunday. If you look at Company or Little Night Music or Into the Woods, just fantastic command of his craft.
Well, let me spin the question back on you, Alan Menken, and say, your comfort zone, let's say, is fun, witty, amusing, because you love to laugh, you love the comedy stuff. What is something that you wish you did a little better?
Well, actually, let me amend that. Most people would say, they say an Alan Menken song, actually where they would go first is the touching ballad, probably.
Oh, because of Beauty and the Beast, and, right, yeah.
Well, or any of those songs. People tend to, that heart-wrenching ballad. If it's something I wish I did better. Well, what I end up doing right now is, after 23 years, I'm returning to writing music and lyrics.
Oh!
Hope that goes well. And I'm not going to tell you on what, but I am working on writing music and lyrics. So that, I suppose, is in my bucket list of things that I still want to bring to the world.
And can I ask, you don't have to tell us what that particular project is, but where on the pipeline are Hunchback of Notre Dame and Aladdin in reference to Broadway?
Yeah, Aladdin is opening in Toronto this fall and then coming to Broadway in the spring. Hunchback will be, we're probably doing a production out of town next year and then coming to Broadway maybe after that.
And are there other projects that you're working on that you can talk about?
No. Yes, there are other projects I've worked on, many of them. Can I talk about them? No.
Okay.
Only because the rights are still, either the rights are not totally sewn up, or because the people involved do not want it to be announced that I'm working on them.
Sure, no, totally, that's, you don't want to jinx things, of course. Can I ask, in the writing process, and maybe it varies from collaborator to collaborator, but the old question, chicken or the egg, is it the music first, the lyrics first, the idea for the song, and then you work on the music and lyrics together with the person? What's the order, the sequencing?
Yes, my favorite is the third, as you said. My favorite is you get the assignment right, get in the room together, and then basically see how it comes. Sometimes it's music first, sometimes it's lyric first, sometimes it's a title first, sometimes it's a musical fragment, and then it's any number of things. You just try to get a toehold. You just try to get a beginning and then take it from there.
And are you one of those people who, when you get in the room with the other person, do you get right to work, or do you have to be like the writers on the Dick Van Dyke Show, where you, your show of shows, where you spend the first 2 hours making coffee, talking sports, and then it's like, okay, let's do it?
It's a little combination of both. I would say not an hour, but we'll usually spend, a few minutes catching up, and then. Get into the work, absolutely. Because I love the work. If I didn't love it, then I guess I would kill time. But I love seeing, what are we going to create? What's going to happen in this room?
Now, can I also ask, we were talking before about your favorite musicals of all time, which were, pretty standard, obvious ones. But I'm curious, do you remember Alan Menken, the first show that you ever saw live that your parents took you to?
No, but it's either My Fair Lady, which I guess is like late 50s. There was a musical called Destry Rides Again, I remember, that my parents took me to.
That was Andy Griffith, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe, but it was called Destry Rides Again, and I was a kid.
Well, did any of them make, it doesn't sound like that, they make a really huge impression. I think the cast albums that your parents had made more of an impression than the actual
lyrics
to the
theater. Made a very, yes, it's true. That made a very big impression. I remember listening around the house to A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, and Fanny, and Finian's Rainbow, and you know, of course Carousel, and Oklahoma, South Pacific. Oh my God, yeah, those were the shows I listened to growing up, sure.
Well, so many people now growing up have listened to the shows that Alan Menken has done in the movies, of course, that he's worked on, from Little Shop of Horrors to Newsies to Sister Act to and also the TV work now that he's doing. We have to remind people again, if any Emmy voters happen to be listening to this program, he's one short of an EGOT. So you've got to go and get the Jewish, it sounds like a musical, long title song from Neighbors.
And actually, now I finally remember the title. It's more or less the kind of thing you might see on Broadway.
Oh, it is a long title. More or less the kind of thing you might see on Broadway. And of course, it is wonderful to see and hear so much music from Alan Menken. Last two quick questions for you. First of all, I got to wish you a major, major mazel tov, because aside from all these awards that you've got, the Grammys, the Tonys, blah, 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 you fairly recently celebrated, what, your 40th anniversary?
Oh, yes, my wife and I are married. Actually, yes, over 40 years now.
Give us some advice. How do you keep a marriage going for four decades?
You gotta love her. Love her a lot.
Well, that's pretty good. That's a lyric right there. I'll bet you're going to put that in a lyric one day. That'll be the tagline of, like, the last verse. You gotta love her, you gotta love her a lot. I'm telling you, I just gave you an idea right there. And final question...
I love it, thank you.
For Alan Menken is, how involved, if at all, are you with Judaism? I figure I'd throw that one in there.
Oh, that's a good question. I'm involved with... I'll go on the High Holy Days.
Good.
Occasionally, I'll do benefits to support my synagogue and help them raise money. I am not a regular attender of synagogue. I am reformed in the extreme.
Okay.
But I am very, very clearly, culturally, and ethically a Jew.
Well, of course you are. You work on Broadway. What else could you possibly be?
But am I, you know, very observant? No. However, I did take some time, you know, a while ago to sit down with a rabbi and actually begin to learn Hebrew, you know, or to refresh my memory on my Hebrew. It does mean something to me, and I'm very proud of my Jewish heritage. Very, very proud of it.
And we are very proud to have Alan Menken as one of us, ladies and gentlemen, one of the tribe. It is a pleasure to have this man who wrote so many wonderful songs and musicals and is still continuing to write and to create and to do new things, which is what it's all about. Alan Menken, it has been a joy and a delight having you in the neighborhood. Do you have any questions for me, or are we good?
We are so good. Thank you for your time, and thank you for talking to me. It's a pleasure. To talk to you.
Blessings to you, Alan Menken. Thank you so much. Shalom.
Bye-bye.